let's stand and sing it to him this morning. For he is holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Oh, he is holy, he's holy. Presence here already. Amen. All right, this is 127 in your handbook. Well, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Of the Lamb. pure and white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, will your soul be ready for the mansion's prize and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Oh, are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Oh, are your garments spotless? Are they white?
In the blood, oh, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed? Aren't you thankful that you're washed this morning? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Good to be in service again this morning to worship the Lord together in spirit and truth. And good to have all you home folks with us and all the visitors as well. Look back there. I believe I saw Brother Josh Carter. Brought back a lot of memories of Bible studies and going to visit Brother Peyton in the nursing home and singing together and just a lot of fond memories. It's good to be together with brothers and sisters of like precious faith, isn't it? Amen. We've got a thank you card that we want to read this morning. It says, from the family of Betty J. Buckles, deeply appreciates and gratefully acknowledges your kind expressions of sympathy to the church. Thank you for all your kindness and support of our family during our time of loss. Thank you for the flowers, the food, the love you showed. My mom loved her church, all of you. May God continue to bless you in His love, Sister Ruth and the Buckles family. So we certainly appreciate that. And we've got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord this morning. Sister Mayfield, not feeling well. Also, Sister Tina and Jackson, not feeling well. And my sister-in-law, Sister Denise Bryant, she sent in a prayer request for her mother, Sister Mariola Sisk, who's having pain in her chest, and the doctors say it's related to angina, so I want to remember her in prayer. Also, Brother Joe and Sister Becky Howdeshell are traveling this weekend. I want to remember them in prayer. And Brother Yarbrough, he's traveling, I believe, as well. And then Brother Furman requested prayer for Brother Wesley Beletka to get a job that he applied for. And then also Sister Carol Jackson requested prayer for Sister Betty Hicks, her mother. And how many has an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Hoover, would you come this morning and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to be able to come again, Lord, into your presence. Lord, as Brother Nathan said, with brothers and sisters of like precious faith, together, and our lick of fire joining together, Lord. And Lord, we believe that you're here because you came with us, Lord. You came in us. Heavenly Father, we come in faith believing this morning. We know, Lord Jesus, that if we believe, all things are possible. Lord, all you ask us to do is the believing part. You'd handle all the supernatural, Lord. It's not up to us. It's not what we can do. It's not what we can muster up or work up. But, Lord, it's just simply resting in your promise, Lord, and believing that what you said you will fulfill. Now, with our hands laid upon these requests, Lord, each one coming in, Lord, we just ask that you would move in this situation. In each and every life, Lord, your Jesus. We believe, Lord, your God, that you knew about it before we ever knew about it. And Lord, you've already made provision for it. You've already sacrificed. You've already shed your blood. You can't go back and do that again. Lord, we hear the words of your prophet as he stood on the platform. He said, if you were standing in this suit that you gave me, you couldn't heal him again, Lord. You've already done it. Lord, we believe that. Lord, we believe that you're here this morning, Lord, not only to heal, but also to fill with the Holy Spirit. You're here to restore, Lord, those that might be discouraged or, Lord, the devil might be on them, Lord, or Jesus lying to them and telling them things that aren't true. We just rebuke these spirits, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe, Lord, you're here to set people free. Brother Branham said that the preaching of the gospel drives away those evil spirits. Lord, we believe that you're here to cause those spirits to come off of people, come out of people this morning and set people free in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. We give you glory for it. And we're going to worship you, Lord, as if it's already done because we believe it is. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning we've gotten the 56th. That's 5-6. 56th chapter of the Psalm, please. It says, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. What time am I afraid, I will trust in thee. Every day they rest my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before the Lord in the light of the living? God bless you. Please be seated.
Amen. At this time, I believe we got a special from Brother Luke and Sister Stephanie Nicholson, Sister Stephanie Duvall, and Sister Amanda Andes.
Find the words, I heard them speak to me. you see the bride of the last days, who stood the worst of times, when so many slipped away? Here's your crown, take your place beside the throne. Christ is now your very own. This is the special chosen one we see. Are you she?
It was the worst of all the ages, they continue to say. Did you live a Christian life in such a godless day? And question after question, my heroes lifted me. Then I heard a voice behind me whisper tenderly,
this is she, the bride of the last day, stood the worst of times, when so many slipped away. Here's your crown, take your place beside the throne. I am now your very own. This is the special chosen one we see.
You're the chosen one.
This is she.
Amen. You appreciate that this morning? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Let's sing this together this morning.
Oh, it's a highway to heaven, and none can walk up there. Don't have
if you're walking up the King's Highway. I know Christ walks beside me. His angels will guide me when I'm walking up the King's Highway. Oh, and it's the highway to heaven. Oh, none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's the highway to heaven. Walking up the King's Highway.
King's Highway.
Amen. God bless you. I have a quote that I want to read you this morning, but musicians, if you'll just stay on the platform. Brother Branham said he was talking in Ashamed in 1965 about a brother Smith that was a black brother that pastored a church that he used to go to. And he said all of them would be singing, "It's a Highway to Heaven." And Brother Smith, he just sit like this, you know, and I'd walk in the back door. And he says a little bit further, he said, Brother Smith sat back there a little bit, you know, and he was kind of a quiet sort of fellow. He'd say, "Come in, elder, rest your hat." Not rest yourself, he said, rest your hat. Hang it up, see. "Come in, elder, rest your hat." And he would get up there, and I could tell the way he started off, I was in for it, see. He would say, "Well," he says, "children, you know," he said, "I was sitting here just wondering, Lord, what are you going to give me to say?" Said he kept saying, kept shaking his head at me. Said, "I ain't going to give you nothing to say." Said, "I seen Elder Branham walk in the back there," and I said, "Now, Lord, I begin to remember." He said, "Well, I was right in for it." And so I was reminded of that quote yesterday. I studied a lot in the afternoon yesterday and actually had a sermon that the Lord had given me, but it was kind of lengthy and just couldn't seem like I could condense it and was trying to decide what to do for today's service. And I battled back and forth with it till about 10:30 at night. And I got a text message from Brother G, and I'd invited him while he was in town, if it worked out for him, to take a service for us. And he said, "Brother, I know it's late notice, but if you still have an opportunity and don't have plans tomorrow, I'll take one of the services." And I said, "Well, praise the Lord." So the Lord has a way of doing things for us. So I'm going to invite Brother Gordon Titani, if he'd come at this time, all the way from Zimbabwe. He's been in for the camps, and he's been fellowshipping with us, and we've certainly enjoyed it. And I just want to give him his liberty this morning. 15 years ago today, terrorists attacked our country, and Brother Branham had said 1953, he's talking, and he just pauses in the middle of his sermon. He's talking about a campaign they just left from New York, and he pauses for a moment. He just says, "There's something about New York." He said, "You just remember, there's something about New York." And so we believe we saw prophecy being fulfilled there, and it's just signs of the times everywhere. It hasn't gotten better, it's gotten worse. And Brother Branham said it would continue to get worse. In fact, in 1964, he said if the world survived 50 more years, they would go into complete insanity. And all you have to do is pick up a newspaper and recognize the world out here has gone into complete insanity. They're doing things that are unimaginable. But I thank God that we have a haven of rest in the time of trials and troubles and tribulations, that we have a place we can go to. And we love Brother G. We're just going to sing this morning as he comes. "Amazing Grace," key of F. Amen. How many's thankful for grace? You say, "Oh, I lived so clean, Brother Nathan, I didn't need any grace." Oh, yes, you did. Oh, yes, you did. We all needed grace. You may have had some self-righteousness, but we all needed grace. Amen. Amen. Oh, it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Lord, it saved a wretch. I'm found, Lord, I was blind, but now I see. Oh, it was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears reached. Sing it this way together. It's through many dangers, toils, and snares. Already come. It's just His grace. Hey. Let's sing it this way together. Oh, praise God.
Praise God.
Just close our eyes. Praise the Lord. You believe in His grace?
Amen.
If you have a request, you can just show the same by raising up your hand to God. Oh, God, have mercy. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Creator and Sustainer of life, we humbly come before Thy very throne of grace, asking for Your mercy and grace upon our lives. We thank You for this great grace that You have shown to us by sending us a prophet with a message of grace, revealing Jesus Christ again to a dying generation. Lord, we pray that the presence of that angel that accompanied the ministry of the prophet will be with us this morning. Lord, as it was already mentioned, we feel Your presence. We just pray, dear God, that You take me to one side. Heavenly Father, just be a blessing to Your people. Amen. Sanctify this body that I am. And forgive every sin and trespass from every one of us. As we report for service and for duty, have the preeminences. You are the leader and guide and the head of Your church. Heavenly Father, therefore we don't want any man's thoughts, but just what the prophet says. Amen. Heavenly Father, and what Your word says, we pray the Holy Spirit will give us a wonderful time in Your presence. Yes. Heal the sick and the afflicted amongst us. We want to pray, Lord, for those that are gathered around the country, around the world, members of Your bride, that You give them their portion. Get glory and honor to Yourself. At the end of the day, we'll give all the praise to You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may take your seats for a moment. So, how do you do? Praise the Lord. I thought the song service was too short this morning. I enjoy the way you people sing here. So I was hoping for a feel for a bigger feel. I don't know whether I'm going to pull back, brother, anything here, but we'll see what happens. Praise the Lord. I enjoy singing, and I also enjoy good singers. I'm also one of those preachers who floats between two offices. Sometimes I'm singing, sometimes I'm speaking. And I say, I got my mate here. He also does the same. He enjoys singing and he's a good preacher too. So maybe we might, I'll see what happens. You know, singing is very good. Singing gives courage to the Christians and to the soldiers. Singing has got something to do to give courage.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And then, especially in this hour, we need encouragement.
Yes.
Well, there's so many discouragements, but so we need to encourage one another.
Amen.
That's one thing that sometimes we as Christians lack, just to encourage one another.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know what Brother Branham said? It's good to say something good about somebody when they're still alive,
Amen.
Than a big whole wreath of flowers when they're dead.
Right.
You, Brother Bram says, talk nice things about one another.
Amen.
He even said, even if the person, there's many bad things about him, just try and find out the good things. right? And avoid those things that are not good about, and say the good things. And when he hears that, it encourages them. So we need to encourage one another. Praise the Lord. So we can start right now. You can look at somebody next to you and say, oh, you're such a fine brother, you're such a fine sister. God bless you. It doesn't cost anything to encourage somebody. Until Brother Branham speaks about these nice humorous things, he said there was this one sister, she didn't want to say anything bad about somebody, about anybody. So somebody thought they'd cornered. He said, what about the devil? Can you say any good thing about the devil? She says, well, he's a very good accuser of the brethren. But just goes on to say, we need to encourage one another. There's so many discouraging things. And there's so many, even, do you know sometimes you discourage yourself. Sometimes you discourage yourself. You have such and too many negative things about your own self. That's not good. There's humility, which is okay. Then there's a complex, an inferiority complex. Okay? That's the self. Now, having an inferiority complex and that paralyzing you, that's not being humble. That's not humility. But the devil can put a complex on you, and then you feel so bad about yourself until you can't do anything. And yet the scripture says, they that know their God shall do exploits for their God. And sometimes when you don't get to do anything, you criticize those that are doing something. Right? Somebody, they know their position. Somebody, they know what they are supposed to do. And then, because you are not doing, it was said one time that an idle mind is the workshop of the devil. But this is the hour that we have got to be up and about. Doing something for the Lord. Doing something to encourage one another. Praise the Lord. And there's a quote, the statement, one of the key statements that we use at the Young Foundations and Voice of God is encouraging young people in their walk with Christ. Praise the Lord. Many times, even young people, we tell them, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do, but we don't tell them what to do. Like, don't do this, don't do this. Praise the Lord. But you need to get something to be done in this hour. This is the only time that we can work. Maybe I'm not going to preach today. I'm just going to speak. Praise the Lord. Just speaking. Amen. But we just want to speak maybe a few things around the Word of God by His grace. Maybe a little Bible study. So let's make it a point that we need to encourage one another. If somebody's low down, pick them up. Amen. Encourage them. Yes. One time we were speaking about Jacob's ladder. It was a good study that we went through. Jacob's ladder. Brother Branham, he spoke a message called The Infallibility of God's Spoken Word. The infallibility of God's spoken word. In other words, the spoken word of God is infallible. Right. You believe that? He spoke about the infallibility of God's spoken word, which is infallible. It's a message he preached in 1956. I think it was an Easter message or something. The infallibility of God's spoken word. When you listen to that tape and go through it, you're going to find out He's speaking the whole tape about Jacob's ladder. And the Bible readers, when you read Jacob's ladder, the Bible says, and on that ladder, there were spirits. I mean, there were angels going up and down. Angels going up and down. Where? On Jacob's ladder. And Brother Bram says, what are they doing, those angels? He says, they are picking up the weary. They are picking up the weary. And that's where we are on Jacob's ladder. It says they are picking up the weary, and those that are sick, he's healing them. Amen. Now, Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 14, Paul is speaking about all those things. I hope you have brought your Bible this morning. You're going to be opening your Bible quite a few times. Not now, but we're just starting to get it started. So, he says, let's read that. Hebrews, it's not our scripture, but let's just read it while we're seated. Hebrews 1, 14. The prophet says that a real Christian reads their Bible and prays every day. That's one of the things Brother Joseph does encourage the young people to do. The quiet times and things like that, it's brought some wonderful results. Praise the Lord. Hebrews in chapter 1. Verse 14. Paul has been speaking a whole lot of things there. Then he's winding up in chapter 1. I didn't plan I was going to read that verse, so just bear with me a little bit. Okay. Hebrews 1:14 says, okay, let's start. He's comparing Jesus and the rest of the angels. And when Brother Bram was holding the Hebrew series, he says in chapter 1 there, Paul is exalting Jesus. Exalting Jesus. Right? He speaks about the different angels. Now, he uses the word angels. That's Paul. But he says, one of the angels said, and he's referring to David. So David, in one instant, is an angel. But the prophet told us that an angel is a messenger. Okay? You also are an angel. You can be a messenger, an angel for good or for bad. It depends on who is sending you. Are we together? You are a messenger for good or for bad. You are a messenger for God or for the devil. But as believers, we trust that when we come to the Lord, we are washed, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and you become a messenger for good. Carrying good words, doing good deeds. Are we together? So, all right. Verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits? Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Right. Says, are they not all ministering spirits? So they are ministering spirits that are sent to minister. Right. To who? To those who shall be heirs of salvation. Amen. So who is an heir of salvation? You. Right. Me. And Paul is saying, God shall send ministering spirits, all right, to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. Amen. And Brother Bram says, your pastor, when he stands behind the pulpit to minister God's word, he is God's angel to that assembly. Yes. That's scripture. And that's Brother Branham. Amen. Right? And he says, and what are those ministers to minister? They must minister the word. Not their thoughts, but the word. And the word comes to the prophet. And they must say what the tape says. not hate their own thoughts. Are we together? So, and God has sent a major messenger, a major angel with a word to minister to the heirs of salvation. Then he gives a question. Who has more power, an angel in heaven or an angel behind the pulpit? Who has more power? Some thoughts are coming, huh? Sometimes it's difficult to believe the simple things. Simple things. What we are going to talk about, some of the things, just talk, a little talk. I'll call it just a talk on the word. Amen? And just relax a bit. I was feeling a little guilty. Brother Nathan had been asking me to come and say a few things, but I was enjoying more seated in there. And then he said, well, please, when you have time, when you're still around, just make yourself available. We'd like for you to speak. So I was kind of feeling guilty to continue on to back off. Praise the Lord. But all this time, I was enjoying the good singing. It's good to come to this place and enjoy the good singing. Praise the Lord. And song leaders, they are good guys. You need to pray for them and encourage them. Song leaders, musicians, and singers. We enjoy Brother William McMaster's out there, the Branham Tabernacle. He's doing a good job. He does a good job together with my son there, Steve, encouraging the young people in singing. So there are some of the songs that they were singing. I thought we were going to have time to sing them. But we'll see maybe at the end of the service. I'm trying to be a good boy to him, but I'm oppressing something in me to want to sing. But we'll sing by his grace. Now, the infallibility of God's spoken word. Okay? Now, these angels, they are different. Are we together? These ministers, they are different. These prophets, they are different. God is a God of variety. Some people find it hard to handle variety. But it takes maturity to be able to appreciate somebody that is different from you. Are we together? We have different personalities. We have different characters. We even have different faces. So, but we appreciate one another. And there's preferences. Okay? There's preferences with people. What you prefer might not be preferred by somebody else. But because this one prefers this, that doesn't make him bad. Are we together? And we've been taught that by the prophet. We've been taught that. Even like when we have our meetings and responsibilities at Voice of God. I remember one time we had a meeting and Brother Joseph was telling us how there's different tasks and there's different people. You can't let this one go and do this. You can't let this one. It's different. And the way God has made people, he knew that if I make Brother David Ernst, my friend there, I love him very much. He does a good job. And the team that he works with, you can find that the way translation has to be done and the way it takes certain people with certain characters and certain characteristics. You don't need careless people there. Because it has got to be something. It's about the word and blah, blah, and things like that. Then you have other people that do other things. Other people that do other things. And even in the army, there's the defense supplies, okay? And then there's guys that go on the front line. There's general forces. Then there's the elite forces. Specialized units. They've already signed to die. They go where nobody else goes. Are we together? Sometimes they do things that you wonder, hey, how are they? Why are they doing that? They are on a mission. Amen. And we are in the Lord's army. Right. And there's division of labor. Yes. And there's a variety of operations. And there's a variety of functions. Amen. Brother Bram preached the message, adoption. Yes. Okay? Now, many people, when you speak about adoption, they think about just preaching. It's many things. Yes. The first thing that Brother Bram mentions about adoption, he didn't mention an apostle or a great preacher. He says, God can adopt you as a housewife. Right. Housewife. Right. Yes. It's a ministry. It's a tremendous ministry. The ministry of a housewife. Oh, brother. Brother spoke about Mother's Day. And then he spoke about the gospel according to Mother. He says there's a fifth gospel. The prophet put it there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That's the Bible. Then the prophet comes, who is a divine interpreter of the written word. Divine interpreter of the Bible. And he says there is a fifth gospel. The gospel according to Mother. Amen. Although it is not Mother's Day today, I want to salute all the mothers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. It was a mother who influenced Moses. Yes. One of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. It was the teaching and influence of his mother. She was the one that taught him who he was and how he came. And he grew up with that tremendous influence. Then God came with a supernatural touch on the knowledge that he had about himself. Samuel, a great prophet. How did he come? His mother was praying to God. Hannah. And she was responsible of bringing forth that great prophet, Samuel. Then Paul is writing to Timothy. I think it's one of the letters of Timothy. 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul is writing to Timothy. And Timothy, by that time, he was a great preacher. A great bishop with many churches that he was dealing with. And he says, Paul says, when I call to remembrance, he's encouraging Timothy, of the great faith that I see in you, which was first in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. And I'm persuaded it is in you also. So he was stressing. He was even telling Timothy, says, okay, fine, Timothy, I see you're a great minister. You're a servant of God. But I first saw it in your grandmother. And then it came to your mother. Now it's in you. So God used Timothy's grandmother to groom his mother. And then God used Timothy's mother to groom Timothy. Yes. So that Paul, a messenger of God, could find a vessel worthy to work with in the great plan of God. So that Timothy can serve God by submitting himself under the leadership of the messenger of the age, Paul. And God was able to pick the fruits from the labors of the mother. So young men, you're going to respect your mother. You're going to honor your mother. And a mother is a type of a church. It's a woman. And the church must have, Brother Ram is speaking in the message of invisible union of the bride of Christ. He speaks of the three sacred virtues of a woman, natural. Then he speaks of the three sacred virtues of a woman, the church. Sacred womanhood, sacred bedding ground, and sacred motherhood. We're not going into that. Then he says, the church also must have that. The sacred virtue to prayer, to Christ, and to the word. The modern women, he speaks about the modern women. They no longer want to bear children. And it has crept into denominationalism. They want joiners. But they are uncomfortable with the X238 screaming babies. That's what the prophet says. They don't want to take care of the X238 screaming babies. Because babies, they come not by joining. They are born. And a birth is a pain. And there's a mess when a birth is going on. Are we together? Oh, we've been seeing quite a few births out there still. Hallelujah. So the mother must be able to handle that. And we thank God that Brother Bram has taught us that. And the church has, that's why you have new people coming in, or the new people coming in. Because they are being born by the word, from the word. Are we together? So, a mother is a very important person. We are not to look down upon our mothers or look down upon our wives. No. That is actually an inspiration that we can get from them. We also are a woman. We also must be able to bring forth children. Are we together? By the word. We receive the word, the spoken word, the original seed, the seed from the man, Christ. Believe it, obey it, and then we also are heavy with child right now. There's another child that we must bring forth. Paul says, my little children in whom I travail until Christ is formed in you. The formation of Christ by the word. Are we together? We are to reproduce that son, which is Jesus Christ. It's not just going to church, attending service. No, no, no. It's serious business. We have a responsibility of the word to receive it, to believe it, to obey it. Let it change our lives. Let it transform us. What the prophet spoke, let it be seen in us. It can be seen. I was sharing with Brother Nathan my first visit to the United States. About 20 years ago, when it came for the Voice of God open house, when I was then in Africa, it was too easy to see many women with dresses. So brothers would visit Africa, they would see, they would think everybody is a Christian. Because even the non-believers, they were wearing long dresses. Nicely, you'd think it's a sister. Not now. So when I got to JFK, I saw almost everyone was putting on pants, the women. Shorts, what? So changing airports from this one to this one, connecting flights, you see everything the same. Then all of a sudden, I saw one woman walking through the departure gates. Long dress, long hair, nicely done at the back. I was seated. I looked at her. I said, "What?" I kept on watching. She was moving. I said, "Now that should be a believer." So she went past and went and sat at a certain departure gate. I said, "No, no, no. That should be my sister. Let me just go and greet her. Let me find out first." So I went and I sat at a row behind her row. There's something else I wanted to check. I'd seen that she had no lipstick. Now I wanted to check the nails. So I went and sat behind the chair. And he kind of peeped, and there was nothing. I said, that's a believer. So I said, "Hello. Hello." Started a little conversation. Said, "Would you be a Christian?" She said, "What?" I said, "Would you be a Christian?" She said, oh yes. Why?" I said, "You believe the anti-message?" She said, yes. Why?" I said, "Brother Bram said yes." I said, "God bless you, my sister." I was so happy. She said, "How did you know me?" I told her, "I'm from Africa. This is my first visit here." I said, "Look, it is the token on display. I can see that what is preached to you is what has been preached to us, is what Brother Bram spoke about. So what has been spoken, what's in the Bible, what's in the spoken word, is what I see on you. The token." And Paul says, "You are written epistles." Came to find out she was a sister from Tennessee, Brother Donald Reagan's church. She gave me a name, Sister Ruth Blake. I don't know whether she still is. But I was so happy that I could meet her under those circumstances. So what is written must be seen. What has been spoken must be seen. This is what the word says. It must be seen. It must be displayed. We must eat the word. One of the statements that Brother Joseph was repeating all the time at camp last week was, "You are what you eat." Because what you eat reflects. What you eat manifests. Amen. If you eat the word, you become the word. Yes. And the word is love. Yes. When you eat love, you have love. Amen. When you plant seeds of love, you will produce love. Amen. You are what you eat. Amen. If you eat gossip about somebody, negative things about somebody, you eat that, then you develop a negative attitude towards that person. Because that's what you are eating. And that's poison. Brother Bram says, say nice things about one another. And God will bless you. The easiest way to get a blessing, I must say nice things about Brother Nathan. Because that's the formula, that's what the prophet says. Say nice things about one another and then God will bless you. So if I want a blessing, what's the easiest way to do it? I must say nice things about my brother. Amen. And avoid those things that are bad. Are we together? Amen. Did the prophet say that? He says, say nice things about one another. And God will bless you. Amen. The other way for the other easy way to get blessings. Blessed is he that readeth and heareth the words of this prophecy. So if you want a blessing, just listen to your tape. Amen. Easy. If you want a blessing, just read the word. Amen. You get a blessing. Yes. For free. People, they scream, "Lord, give me blessing. Lord, give me." You say nice things about somebody. Amen. Then God will bless you. Amen. Read. Listen to the tapes and go, and God will bless you. That's what the Bible says. Amen. And there's another recipe for blessing. You want to know it? If you want a cake, you use a certain recipe. Okay? The other recipe is in Psalms 133. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It shall be like Aaron's rod, like that, like that, like that. He's talking about unity. Then he says, and there he has commanded a blessing. Amen. When there is unity, God pours blessings. Amen. It's a recipe for blessing. When a family is united, husband and wife are united, God commands a blessing. When a church is united, God commands a blessing. When the bride is united, God commands a blessing. So we don't look at things that divide us. We look at the things that unite us. We ignore all other things that divide us. They are irrelevant. They are immaterial. They are useless. Like the jacket you're wearing or the shirt you're wearing is different from mine. That's irrelevant, but we are together. It was your choice, and it has been my choice. Choice because of different natures does not separate us. Because God is a God of variety. Oh, God have mercy. I might end up speaking about that which is not on my notes. Something else is on my notes. God is a God of variety. My father-in-law, my wife's father, my wife seated there, her father normally says, we'll be talking. He's elderly. He says, variety is the spice of life. Variety. Imagine if we were all black, or if we were all white, or if everybody was wearing the same thing today. No. There is beauty in variety. And Brother Bram says, God is a God of variety. The parents know that. When they have a big family, they know their children. They know who to send where. They know who to appoint to do what. They know this one is talkative, but he can't do this. They know that too well. And God knows that about us. So they have that maturity, and God is the greater parent. He's my father, my mother. So he knows. And he has children, and he has made them different. Are we together? What message is that? By the time you think I'll be starting to preach, I'm finishing. In a message, things that are to be. Brother Bram is talking about what we shall enjoy. He says, God has gone to prepare a place for us. Quoting the scripture from John. He says, behold, I go and prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you shall be also. That's the hope that we have. And he says, the mothers, they know, they prepare before the child arrives. And God is preparing for us before we get there. Amen. Even when we came to this world, he says, God prepared for us. He says, some men like mountains, some men like rivers, some men like great plains. He says, in one instance, one man will say, when God was making this great mountain, he must have poured a whole load of big tire and mortar. Why did he do that? He says, he did that for me. God knew that I love mountains. Some men like rivers. So he made everything for everybody. Yesterday I was just enjoying with my wife. So I repeated to her a poem we did many years ago at junior school when I was 10 years old. It says, all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings, he made their shining colors. He made their tiny wings. The purple-headed mountain, the river running by, How great is our God who made everything so beautiful? Because people are different. And God knows that people appreciate different things. Are we together? And the prophets are different. Moses was a prophet. Elijah was a prophet. Jeremiah was a prophet. But for this age, God knew the one he was supposed to send. The prophet says God predestinates the messenger, the man, his nature for the age. The way Moses was, the believers of that time appreciated that. The nature of Moses, whatever he was, connected with the people to whom he was sent to. Are we together? And the pastors are different. The teachers are different. Some are evangelists. Some are teachers. Some are pastors. It's different ministries. The Bible did not say fivefold ministries. It says fivefold ministry. It's one ministry. Are we together? The apostle, he takes from the prophet. The teacher takes from the prophet. The evangelist takes from the prophet. And when it is like that, it does not bring division. Because their job is not to interpret. The prophet says, don't put your own interpretation. It is already interpreted. See what the text says. Leave it like that. When you put your own thoughts, that's when poison comes. That's when division comes. Praise the Lord. So, God is a God of variety. We are different, and we should appreciate one another like that. Praise the name of Jesus. Maybe let's stand for now and read the scripture. All that I've been saying here, we're not on my notes. Maybe the Lord wanted us to say that and just get a few things settled in our hearts. So maybe if you're used to the preaching of Brother Nathan, which I enjoy, I have my own way. Praise the Lord. And we want to read Isaiah in chapter 1. I had two messages that I was thinking about, but it looks like the other one has been put aside. I had actually two sets of notes. We'll just see how the Lord will lead us. This one, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, and Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Then, John chapter 5. Verse 19. Praise the Lord. Yes. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, they also doeth the Son likewise. May the Lord a blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. You may take your seats. Praise the Lord. Good to see our friends from Guyana. And I call him my son. He's working out there, Brother Job, all the way from the UK. His dad is, we grew up together in the message with his dad back in Zim. Now they're in the UK. We appreciate the Lord. Brother Kenway is now in American. We are happy to have him here. And my nephew, my sister's son, God bless you. We trust God will bless him this morning. Praise the Lord. Now, the Son shall do nothing except what he seeth the Father do. Amen. Which Son? The Son of Man. Which Son is Jesus talking to? He's talking about himself. He was the revealing of the Son of Man. Are we together? And that ministry has been promised to come back in the last days. And this is the ministry that we are under right now. The prophetic ministry. The ministry of the Son of Man. Brother Branham says, Jesus came in three sons' names. Son of Man, prophet. Son of God, priest. And Son of David, king. Are we together? So he is Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. Which is prophet, priest, king. Eagle, lamb, lion. Prophet, priest, king. We'll have a little Bible study. Sunday morning Bible study. If you are mature, you're already grown up, I'm talking to the young people and new people. So those that know these things, just help me with amens. And help me trudge along. We are teaching the young ones, okay? But sometimes you also become young. Praise the Lord. Prophet, priest, and Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. Are we together? Amen. Eagle, lamb, lion. Brother Bram spoke a message. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And he says this Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he is prophet, priest, and king. He is eagle, he is lamb, he is lion. Eagle, prophet. Lamb, priest. Lion, king. But he's one person. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Adam, Eve, Eden. In Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Brother Branham is speaking about the threefold secret that was at the back part of God's mind. But it was hidden throughout the entire Bible. The threefold secret that God wanted to have preeminences in a body called Christ. He wanted to reveal himself as a son. That same God, that one God, he wanted to form himself into a body. That was the first fold. And that was achieved by and through the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we together? Amen. That's first thing. Secondly, God wanted now that Christ, that God, to have preeminence in a body of believers. His church. His bride. The same God who was in Christ, now in a body of believers that he purchased by his death at Calvary. That he bought by his blood that was shed at Calvary. And sanctify a body that he can have a dwelling place in that body by that spirit. And that he can rule the lives of those people. And reflect his life, the same life that was in Christ. The same life now being projected into a body of believers. That's number two, second fold. And what was the last fold, the third fold? The two, Christ and the church, back in Eden. Amen. Which is the millennium. So millennium is we are going back to Eden. So Christ, the church, and the millennium is Adam, Eve, Eden. Adam, Eve, Eden. Eden is the dwelling place, the paradise of this Adam and this Eve, which is this husband and this wife. They have a home, which is Eden. Which thing we have every day. So the gospel can be reflected in a home. The husband buys a home. He marries a wife. They have a home. It's, every home must actually be a mini Eden. Amen. A foretaste of Eden. Like a church. It must be a mini Eden. With the pastor and the church and the presence of God. Amen. Are we together? Because the beauty of Eden was disturbed by sin. Was disturbed by the devil. He removed the love that was there. He removed the harmony, the unity that was there. And when they fell from the word, they started a blame game. That's what happens. When people fall from the glory of Edenic beauty. That's the thoughts that God had. God is a family man. And the first couple he put in Eden, it showed the thoughts that God had about you and Christ. About Christ in you. But we know that he did that. He let that happen because he had attributes in him. He could not be a savior when there was no sinner. He did not cause sin. He let people have their free moral agents. But he knew it was going to happen so that he could be a savior. So that he can fulfill his attribute. He can manifest his attribute as a savior. As a healer. As a redeemer. Are we together? The prophet showed us all that great plan of redemption. So, Adam, Eve, and Eden, God setting up that thing there, that's his idea of life. Although it was disturbed when sin came in, that's why he himself made a plan of salvation. To restore. And the message that we have is called what? It's a message of restoration. Amen. To restore what? Eden. And Whatever situation and condition that you are in now, which is contrary from the beginning, don't worry, you can be restored. When you are sick, that's not your original condition. When you get sick, you can be restored by divine healing. When you are backslidden, like the prodigal son, you can be restored back to your sonship. You can be restored back to your fellowship with God. That's why this message is a message of restoration. If some friendships have been disturbed by gossip, backbiting, and whatever the devil does, it can be restored. Oh, brother. We've seen people that have been divorced come back together by this message. We've seen that back in Africa. We've seen that in Eastern Europe. The power of this message. Situations can be restored. Brother Walt Evans, his car was stolen. He went to the prophet. Maybe if he had gone to the police, you know, with bribes and things like that, they can even make it worse. He went to the prophet. And the prophet prayed. And the prophet saw a vision. Son of man. He saw a vision. Are we together? And they made prayer and the car was restored. And this morning, whatever you have lost, whatever has been taken away from you, have faith in God. It can be restored. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and renew a right spirit in me. You have no reason to be sad because of this, because of that. You have no reason to live a disappointed life because of this, because of that. We were created to be happy beings. Joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind me. You can go and take back your joy. Amen. You can even have your backslidden children be restored. Do you know the weapon, the power of the weapon that you have? Your backslidden husband or wife, your backslidden father, your backslidden family. You have got the power. And you can effect a restoration. Brother Bram spoke that message. Restoration of the bright tree. It's not just for us to know mentally. It's for us to experience. It's for us to get the benefits of it. And enjoy it. Are we together? Oh God have mercy. Son of man. Son of God. Son of David. Prophet. Priest and King, eagle, lamb, lion. The threefold mystery that God had at the back part of his mind. So right now, we are on the second part where God is having a preeminence in a body of believers that have believed on Jesus Christ. That have believed the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice. It's one of the tapes that we were listening to at camp. The perfection. It's not what you can do or what you are. It's what he is. What you have accepted that he has done for you. The merits of Calvary. It's not about this brother or this good teacher or this big preacher. No, it's about Christ. Exalting Jesus. Right at Calvary, we all meet together. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Down where falls for cleansing from sins I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. And by the sanctification of that blood, he has got a church ready, a sanctuary ready. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, a sanctuary for you. You are not going just to a church. It's a church going to a church. Amen. You yourself are the church. You are the body of Christ. Yes. A vessel for being indwelt by Him. Yes. And if I know that this brother is a vessel of God, I must honor him. I must respect him. Yes. These other vessels. And you can't speak bad about the vessel of God. Amen. Then the scripture says, touch not my anointed ones. And do my prophets no harm. All right. We must learn to develop a culture of respect. Yes. Holy decency. Brotherly kindness. Holding one another in high esteem. As children of God. As servants of God. Are we together? Now, when he's living in us, Adam was Adam, Christ, Eve, the church, Eden, the home, the millennium. Now, Christ is the head. The church is the body. Eden is the home. It's like a honeymoon place. But the honeymoon venue is not the home. Because after the millennium, what comes? Future home. There's a future home. An eternal home. Oh, brother, I'm going there. I don't know about you. I hope to meet you over there. But I will not start loving you there if I don't love you here. We better start the deal right here. We better start enjoying one another here. Because we are going to spend an eternity together anyway. Praise the Lord. Every brother in the message, wherever they are, whoever they are, as long as they believe that message, and we meet at Calvary. Brother Rom says, if you are depending on a church to make it to heaven, you are lost. That's right. He even went on to say, if you are a Baptist, even if you are a Catholic, and you're depending on Calvary for your salvation, he says, you are my brother. Amen. That's the prophet. That, even if you are a Baptist, but you are depending on Calvary for your salvation, he says, you are my brother. I don't know if we are more holy than the prophet. It doesn't matter where the brother goes to. If he believes Christ, he believes Brother Branham is his prophet. That's my brother. Amen. We might differ from the way he does this way. That doesn't make him my enemy. He's my brother. And you're my brother. I think we should start making some of these statements, repeating them. It doesn't matter what he says or what he does. He's my brother anyway. If I have something that he can benefit from me, I'll give him. We are missionaries. You meet people around the world. I'm just giving examples of people that are my friends and that I know. If I also know you, I might talk about you. The operation of the voice of God around the world. Brother Joseph has just been giving books, material, and things to anybody. It doesn't matter who says what about him, who says what. They want material, give them, please. Just give them. Because what is going to help them is in those books and is in those tapes. What they say or what they don't say doesn't change things. They are our brothers. You give them. Sometimes, you know, people like have differences in the different places out there. They say, you must not give them. So, no. The instruction from Brother Joseph is give them. Amen. Because you are going to spend eternity with them. Somewhere along the line, they are going to read that spoken word. They are going to listen to that tape, and it's going to help them. That's the thing to do. Are we together? Brother Billy Paul gave me a testimony. Years ago, says there was a brother out somewhere in the States. Brother Bram was getting ready. He finished preaching, and this guy came to me and said, "Thank you, brother. Just what the people wanted." So there was another brother who was close by. When that brother left and went, he says, "Ah, that old hypocrite. How come he says that to you? That thank you, brother. That's all what we, that exactly what the people needed." Oh, Brother Bram says, "Don't worry, brother. Do you think I didn't hear it? Do you think I didn't know what he said? When he said, when you guys were having a meeting, can we have Brother Branham? This guy was saying, we must not have him here because he's chasing away all the women here with his preaching too hard against women. So this guy was swearing that we won't have him here, speaking all the bad things." He didn't know Brother Bram saw visions. So Bram said, "No, I saw him, I heard him, but don't worry, leave it." Ah. Yeah. God have mercy. So, let's say nice things about one another. And then God will what? Will bless us. So, we are living Son of God and Son of David. Let's go to Son of Man. We'll wind up with Son of Man. Why we read those two scriptures? Son of Man. Son of Man is what? Prophet. Are we together? Ezekiel, Son of Man. Can these bones live? Son of Man. Prophet. Is God referring to Ezekiel as what? So Son of Man is prophet. Just tell somebody close to you and say, "Son of Man is prophet." Yes, sir. Son of Man is a prophet. But the Son of Man is God in the form of a prophet. You hear that? Just any general prophet, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, these ones, they are a Son of Man. A Son of Man. But Jesus was not just a Son of Man. He was the Son of Man. But all other prophets, they were a type of this great prophet. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ. The Word in body form. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was... And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. And those prophets in the Old Testament, surely the Lord will do nothing but revealeth his secrets to his servants there. And the visions are part of the secrets that are revealed to the prophets by God. Are we together? So Jesus was the Son of Man. Then he prophesied. He said, as it was in the... He's now prophesying about the last days. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man shall be revealed. So that ministry is to come back again. And that ministry has come back again. There was a prophet. But this prophet, like Elijah, like Moses, his ministry was to reveal the Son of Man in the form of the Word. And he was raised up higher than all the other prophets in the Bible. Not what he said, but he was told by God. When he said, oh, the people are refusing the word, now I'm going to stay in the wilderness and come back with that, says the Lord. God came to him and says, don't do that. Don't do that. If you do that, your wife will leave you. You have been called higher. Amen. Is God telling him that you have been called higher than all the other prophets in the Old Testament? Don't leave the people. He was developing a complex against the people. Then he had to come back to the church and apologize. And he spoke a message standing in the gap. He says, I'm going to stand between the people and God, not leave them. I must continue on with them. Speak the word. Okay? John 5:19. The Son will do nothing but what he seeth the Father do. How does he see? In a vision. So, as I get ready to wind up in the next 20 minutes or so, that's my title. The Word of God is a vision. The prophet preached the message, visions and prophecy. The Word of God is a vision. We just want to establish that for a few minutes. The Word of God is a vision. And a vision is the Word of... Right. Let's go back to Isaiah. Fasten your seat belts. We're going to be opening scriptures quickly. The Word of God is a vision. And a vision is the Word of God. Brother Branham, Isaiah chapter 1. Brother Branham said, Isaiah is a summary of the whole Bible. That's what he said. Isaiah is composed or constituted of 66 books. I mean, 66 chapters. Are we together? And the Bible in total has 66 books. And Isaiah has got 66 chapters. And he says that's a summary of the Bible. And the summary of the Bible, actually, what is it? This one. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So what is the book of Isaiah? Vision. The Bible says, the vision of Isaiah. So exactly the book of Isaiah, what is it? It's a vision. Because prophets operate by visions. Not their thoughts. What God shows them. And watch this vision. Concerning what? Concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Oh God, have mercy. So the book of Isaiah, what is it? A vision. Is that established? The book of Isaiah is a what? It's a vision. The word of God is a vision. And a vision is the word of the Son of Man doeth nothing except what he seeth the Father do. Before he speaks it, he has to see it. That's a real prophet. Before he speaks it, he has to see it. So just run ahead of myself. The spoken word, the tapes, what are those? It's the word of God. And what are they? Visions. says, is this the time? Six dreams kept by a vision. Okay? 1933. He sees seven visions. We're not going into them. But God was showing him those visions to focus and influence his preaching. Are we together? The first three visions, he saw an Austrian Adolf Hitler rising up, Mussolini rising up. Are we together? In the third vision, he saw three isms rise up. Nazism, fascism, and communism. And he saw the other two being swallowed by communism. Nazism and fascism, they were swallowed by communism. He says, and the voice admonished, watch Russia. Watch. He didn't say watch the Soviet Union. He said, watch Russia. Watch Russia. Keep your eyes on the king of the north. He's seeing in a vision. The fourth vision, the advancement of science, culminating in a motor vehicle operated without assistance of human beings. The fifth vision, the immorality centering around women, which you and me are a witness of. Immorality in their dressing and their morals. This is 1933. The type of woman today was unthought of or unheard of then. But the prophet saw it in a vision. And he spoke it as prophecy. And it is happening now. Hitler now is history. Mussolini is history. Communism is history. But the prophet saw that before it happened. And he spoke it. And it happened. So what he spoke, it became the word. And the word cannot be broken. Prophecy cannot fall to the ground. What was seen shall happen. What was seen has happened. The others read it in the newspapers when it was happening. But to the prophet, he saw it. And to believers, they heard it and heard it down before it happened. So what is history? It's prophecy written in advance. Yes. Brother Joseph normally says, the spoken word is more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. The spoken word is more up to date with it than tomorrow's newspaper. Oh, God have mercy. And the sixth vision, he says, I saw in America rise up a cruel woman, beautiful on the face, but cruel hearted. He says, I put in parentheses, maybe the rise of the Catholic Church. Then the prophet told us that every scripture, every prophecy has compound meaning and compound revelation. When you talk in terms of the woman of Revelation 13, the Catholic Church, there's only reason in the States. How do we know? The election of President Kennedy was a breach of the American Constitution, where they said no Catholic will sit on the president. Way back in the 1773, 76. How did they breach that in by electing a Catholic to the presidency? The power of that woman, Jezebel, had weaved its way in American politics. The Catholicism they had ran away from in the European states there. It followed them. By flattery. In every institution, Right now, you've got more Catholic judges now. It's in the spoken word. America, a Christian nation founded on Christian principles. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. These are serious things that were spoken by the prophet to warn that bride. And not just Catholicism, the woman Catholicism, the beautiful woman of Revelation 13, and that harlot of Revelation 17. America was a separated nation, one nation under God, fearing God. And this is the first president, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, godly presidents. And it says the history of America, the history of Israel is repeating itself in America. Amen. Oh, you know that. The ministry, it was seen in a vision. And now it looks like a real woman is coming to the throne. Now for me, whether she comes or she doesn't come to the throne, I know of another woman who's already ruling America. Catholicism. It started a long time ago. But God's word, it happens anyhow. Whichever way. And the seventh vision. I saw America in smoldering ashes. Because Russia had thrown a bomb. This is a vision. It appeared a far-fetched statement that Russia would throw a bomb. How would that happen? Russia cannot just throw a bomb without provocation. And it looks like the provocation is getting high. Started with Iraq. Confrontation. The Russians didn't want America and Britain to go into Iraq. The United Nations says don't go. But they went anyhow. Who said for them to go? So there has to be a more powerful voice than the UN. The UN says don't go, they went. There's a voice from the Vatican. I don't have time to go deep into that. I'm just saying, we come to the seventh vision. America and smoldering ashes. Russia and America were under confrontation. In Libya. In Iraq. Syria. Now Ukraine. Many years ago, it was in Afghanistan. Now, there's a direct confrontation in the Ukraine. And you don't know where that will end. Watch Russia. Watch Russia. Keep your eyes on the King of the North. A prophet saw and he spoke. And the events around the world, they are being maneuvered by the power of prophecy. When it is spoken from the mouth of the prophet, nothing will stop it from happening. He sees the oncoming storm coming. And he speaks it. And he tells to the believers, hide yourself under the shelter. Hide yourself under Jesus Christ. Hide yourself under the message of the hour. He's seen a vision. He wants to fall to the ground. The vision is the word of God. Find yourself somewhere to hide. Don't hide in a church. Hide in the Holy Ghost. Hide in his word. Hide under the blood. Oh, God have mercy. So, you see those seven visions? That was before he even met the angel in Green's Mill. That was even he met the seven angels at Sunset Mountain. Watch in the opening of the seals. The fifth and the sixth seal, he brings again Hitler and Mussolini. Persecution of the Jews. But Trump is coming. All those things is connected to the vision that he saw. So the vision of 33 connects now with the vision of Sears. which brings disease, which is the regular commission, and he speaks the word, vision upon vision, vision upon vision, tape loads, tape upon tape, tape upon tape, to prepare a bride. Oh, God have mercy. I'll leave the other scriptures. I'll read just two more scriptures. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1. So when you read those spoken words, when you listen to those tapes, you are listening to a vision. Ezekiel 1. We're drawing to a close with that. Verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chiba, that I saw heavens, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. So the whole book of Ezekiel, what is that? Visions of God. We'll not go to Daniel. Let's go to Amos 1, verse 1. So the whole book of Ezekiel is what? Visions of God. Amos 1 and verse 1. The prophet preached the message, events are made clear by prophecy. Events happening worldwide, you find them in the prophecy of the Bible. You find them somewhere in the prophecy of the prophet, in the books, in the tapes. There's nothing happening that is surprising us. It's somewhere. If you're a real student of the message of the prophet, you won't be surprised by any amazement. Amos 1, verse 1. The words of Amos, who was among the headmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. It's the words of Amos which he saw. So what is the book of Amos? Visions. Obadiah. It's just after Amos. The vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. Huh? So the book of Obadiah is what? Vision. The vision of Mordecai. I mean, of Obadiah. Nahum. It's Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, then Nahum. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. So it's the book of the vision. Visions upon visions. Visions upon visions. I won't open the other book. You know it. Revelations. We jumped many books. We go to the book for us. Revelations. The prophet called it the book of symbols. And John was told, what thou seest, write in a book and send to the seven churches which are in Asia Minor. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. What is Joseph? He's seeing this in a vision and he's told to write. And there's an angel showing him these things. And the prophet comes in the last days. Says Revelation's book of symbols. He speaks the church ages from Revelations. He sees also visions to interpret other visions. In the book of Revelation, there's church ages. There's seals. There's trumpets. There's this, there's that. And God, to interpret this, he brings the visions to the prophet. And he speaks the visions. He also sees other visions. Because he is a prophet to interpret the visions of other prophets. The visions of those prophets became the word, the scripture, the prophecy. And they are visions for the last days that we are living in. What did the word say about this day? And what did the prophet say about us in our day?
Are we together?
Visions and prophecy. God have mercy on us. Like I said, when you think I'm starting, I'm finishing. Praise the name of Jesus. Brother Branham was praying. He's asking God. He's speaking about. Says now we are making another tape load. Tape loads of the word, of the visions. What God shows him, he speaks. It's recorded. It's put on the tapes. It's printed out. It's not his thoughts. It's not his ideas. It's not theology. It's God using a vessel again. A prophet to keep us posted. To know what to expect. To know how to behave in the age we are living in. To know how we should handle one another. He sees a vision of the bride. Are we together? He sees a vision of the masterpiece. The bride. You seated there. You were already seen. And you were spoken. And there you are. He sees a vision. Again. Beyond the curtain of time. He said, then I said, oh, I preached what Paul preached. He says, and I saw millions of hands raised up. He says, I saw millions of black hands raised up. And they're saying, we are resting on that. He saw it in a vision. He spoke it. It was recorded. It was written. And today, there's millions in Africa. Because they were spoken. When the prophet saw the vision, he spoke about them. And here we are. He spoke about them, and there they are. Out in the jungles. Says these tapes will go in the different nations. He's not speaking from the air. He saw it. And somebody receives that burden. These tapes, these books will go around the world. Says maybe the last one to come in will be a black sheep from Africa. And there's a great work going on in Africa. He spoke of translation work. It was seen, he spoke it, it's written, now it's happening. There's been negative things that were seen, that were spoken for judgment. It's coming. There's positive things that were spoken, that were seen, they were spoken, they are happening. Amen. A word to wash a bride, there you are. Beyond the curtain of time. But he also saw another vision of souls in prison. Yes. How the women there were dressed, how they did their hairstyle, how they were painted up and all kinds of things. He saw that. But what he saw He saw it in the United States. Now it's not only in the United States, it's around the world. That's why he was speaking against modernistic women and all kinds of things happening. Because he knew where it came from. He had seen it from the wrong source. In hell. So we see now hell on the earth. And people that get anointed. Spirits, anointings, influences from hell. He says Elvis Presley, Pat Boone, two demonized characters. But their kind of music is not godly music. It's not Christian music. So some of these things, so watch out on the internet, young man. Watch out what you get hooked up to on the internet. There's demonic influence from hell oozing out from those areas. But praise God, there's another heavenly atmosphere. There's another level of influence coming from the sixth dimension, coming from the seventh dimension. Love is from the seventh dimension. Victory and overcoming power. Are we together? My. Oh, God have mercy. God have mercy. All right. Three minutes. I'm winding up. I went another direction that I didn't think I was going to go. But God knows about everything. Amen. The other direction, I was fearing I might not finish. So I'm happy that this one, I finished. Praise the Lord. But Rami speaking, in Christ is the mystery of God. He says, now show me where somebody was baptized in the body, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and what you're recognizing. See, I realize I'm talking to thousands on tape. He's speaking at Jeffersonville. He says, I'm realizing I'm speaking to thousands on tape. He was speaking to you in Jeffersonville, but he knew because God had showed him. Says, I'm speaking to thousands on tape, you know. And we got a tape ministry around the world. Tape what? Ministry. Tape what? So you find somebody that doesn't believe in a tape ministry. You wonder, hey, what prophet do you believe? What prophet do you believe? And what message do you believe? My last quote here, paragraph 19, testimony of 63. He says, the tape ministry is a worldwide thing. Everywhere. We tell people back home, not just in the Branham Tabernacle. We say, oh, that's for the Branham Tabernacle. No. The Lord says, everywhere. The tape ministry is a worldwide thing, everywhere. He says, I think it's one way God has got scattering the message back into the heathen lands, back in where that it has to be translated. That's your name right there, Brother David. Your name is right there. Back where it has to be translated. Ask him how many languages he's involved in. So his job was spoken right here. His job was spoken in the spoken word. Brother says, as I see my time coming to an end, says, I see pastors, young men like your pastor here, they will take this message and sweep it to the coming of the Lord. The same message. So you have to see your name written in here somewhere. Okay? It says, the tape ministry is a worldwide thing everywhere. I think it's one way God has got scattering the message back into the heathen lands. Back in where that it has to be translated. And in Germany and so forth, they got tapes. They go to their congregations of hundreds and hundreds of people and put little things in their ears. This was before those things were invented. Before these things were invented, he's speaking about them. So he's actually speaking invention and production into existence. Where they've, he says, and just as I'm, where they put little things in their ears and run it onto a tape. And just as I'm speaking, the minister stands there making the same expressions and in other languages and bringing it out before hundreds. And hundreds are being saved. And hundreds are being saved and healed. Just through the tapes going out across the world. All in English, but being translated in many, many different languages in tribes around the world. He says, we hear from them back through the mail. It was spoken, and it is happening. And we thank you, and your pastor, for your continued support to the work of the Voice of God and many other churches around the States and around Canada and around the world, taking up this burden and sending the word across the nations. There are people that are benefiting. Amen. Hundreds of people are being baptized just after listening to tapes. Now, that doesn't remove the other preachers. No. Because the spoken word preaches about them as well. It spoke them as well. Brother Joseph said, I don't deny fivefold ministry because I'm one of them. And I don't know how many times I've preached when he was seated there making the loudest amens in different places where we've been, and many other preachers. And him also preaching to us. But you know your boundaries. You know your function. Sometimes people around other places, it's just a misunderstanding. But when you eat the whole book and know what the prophet says about who, about what, you know what to say and you know how to behave. And you know how to appreciate one another. The word of God is a, and the vision is the word of. There was another vision that saw you and me over there. You believe that? Amen. Are we going there? Amen. Do you believe the vision that you were seen marching? Amen. Do you believe that you were seen in a vision? Amen. What were you doing? Onward, Christian soul. Is that going to fall to the ground? No. You were already seen and it was spoken about you that you will march. Amen. The heavenly journey. We will meet in the skies. The rapture was seen. The rapture was spoken. What you are putting on as a Christian dressing, it was seen and spoken, and you obeyed it. The church order that we observe, it was seen and spoken, and we obeyed it. Now we are headed for glory. Because the vision cannot fall to the ground. The word of God is a vision, and the vision is the word of God. We were seen in heaven. We are going to be in heaven. Was the vision saw us there. And the vision also saw. It says some were kind of at the back. They were kind of going astray. Then I started to shout. Stay in line. Stay in line. Who was shouting? It says, and I came out of the vision still shouting, stay in line. It was the voice of the prophet that was calling the bride back to order. It was the voice of the prophet that was calling people back to line. And we will get back to line. Whoever is out of line, don't you worry. If it's me, pray for me until I get in line. If it's you, I'll pray for you until you get in line. And together, we will make it. Brother Abraham says that rapturing faith is coming. in the message of perfect faith. He says, it will mean a lot of shaving away from me, a lot of shaving away from you, but together we will make it. Amen. It was spoken, and it shall happen. Amen. May God bless you. Let's just close our eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will. Oh, when the Savior calls, I will. I'll be somewhere for my name. I'll be. God bless you. As I invite the pastor to lead us in prayer and to a close, let's keep holding the vision, that word, that message. Somewhere.
I'll be somewhere, oh, I'll be somewhere, listening, I'll be somewhere, listening for my name, oh, I'll be somewhere, listening, I'll be somewhere, listening, I'll be somewhere, listening for my name. Let's sing it this way. Oh, if my heart is right when he calls me. Oh, if my heart is right, I will hear. Oh, if my heart is right when he calls me, I'll be somewhere.
Let's stand and sing it this morning.
Listening, I'll be somewhere. Listening, I'll be somewhere. Listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere. Listening, I'll be somewhere. Listening, I'll be somewhere. Listening for my name.
Amen. As they play that softly. Amen. You appreciate our brother being with us this morning. Amen. It's been good to be in church. And as he was talking there, I was reminded of a quote I just heard yesterday from Branham in 1963. He said, now I realize that this is being taped. And these tapes, we have a tape ministry all over the world. And many people just here tonight, where about 1,000 people are listening, before this tape stops, there'll be 10 times 10,000s here at sea around the world. In 1963, they might have thought, that's absolutely ridiculous. But it still hasn't stopped. It's still playing around and around and around the world. Amen. What a blessed people we are to be a part of it. He said, anointed ones at the end time in 1965, he said, what is it? Not the angel is the Son of Man, but the messenger is revealing the Son of Man. He said, can you get it separated now? That's where it seems to be so hard for you to see. Not the Son of Man himself, but the seventh angel, the seventh messenger, is revealing to the public the Son of Man. It was a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. Thank God for eyes to see and ears to hear. Amen. What the Spirit has said to the churches. Amen. God bless you. Brother Canwell, Brother Jeffrey didn't make it this morning, did he? He was talking about it, going into the tribes and different things. Brother Jeffrey's visiting from Ghana. He couldn't make it this morning, but maybe he'll be here tonight. He was telling me at supper the other night, the voice of God had sent to all the pastors in Ghana, gave them the micro SD card, so they have the entire message for all the pastors. But there's a lot of families and things at the churches that don't have them. So we're going to send 21 full sets of the message back with him to give to the churches to use as lending libraries to any of the people that want it. A lot of them have smartphones and things where they can put it in. It's incredible to me to see how God has allowed technology. I sure couldn't have been able to lift 21 libraries a few years ago in the palm of my hand. But I believe we sent, I think it was about a dozen of them to Ghana about a year ago for $7 of shipping. Sent 12 libraries. You would have been talking thousands upon thousands of dollars just in shipping a few years ago. But God, by His grace, before, some of the brothers were telling me when we went on a tour recently that before, you know, they'd be bringing in huge suitcases that weighed hundreds of pounds full of tapes. They'd get stopped in questions, and now they just put dozens of them down in their pockets. Walk right through customs, no problem, no questions. God's good, isn't He? Amen. Let's sing this together. Oh, I just want to be ready. Oh, I want to be ready to go. Oh, yes, I, Lord, I want to be ready. Oh, I want to be ready. Oh, let's sing it again together. Oh, assembled together this morning. Lord, how we've sat and we've heard testimonies. Lord, we've heard from Your Word. Lord, we've recognized, Lord, that Your Word, Father, when it goes forth, it comes in vision form. Lord, because You said when You spoke, You would show everything to Your servants, the prophets, Lord, what we would have need of for each age. I thank You, Father, that I don't have to wonder and question, Lord, but there's so many things I may not have all the answers, but I know where I can point people to for the answers. Lord, that there's something that Your bride would need, that we have stored up food where we can go to. When we have a question about something, maybe somebody have an idea, maybe sincerely, but we can check it with the Word. Make sure it lines up, Father. I thank You for what we've received in this age, Lord. Thank You for brothers, Lord, like Brother Gordon and different ones, Lord, that have a burden on their heart to get it translated into other languages so that the people can sit and listen. Oh, how privileged we are, Father. May it never become common to us, Lord, to be able to sit and listen to it in our own first language, Father. Lord, we're thankful for that, Lord. And Lord, I just ask You to continue to bless the work, Father, that's being done to get the message into the hands of the bride around the world. Lord, may you just continue to further it, Father. Lord, until we reach that last one, Father. Oh, we're longing to go home, Father. Help us to clean our lamps, Lord, and make sure that we're ready. Father, bless my brother and his family as they travel back home to Zimbabwe. Lord, may you give them traveling mercies, Lord, until we meet again. Oh, thank you, Father. Lord, be with each one as we go our separate ways. Bring us back at the appointed time. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Brother G is he's a distributor there in Zimbabwe over the office there. And also he's an interpreter, I believe, is it Shona? Am I pronouncing that right? And Shona is the language that he interprets into. And I'm thankful for brothers that have a burden on their heart for that type of a work. We don't realize sometimes, we're spoiled. We don't realize what it's like not to be able to just go and get any tape we want in our own language. But there's people overseas, maybe only have some of them a dozen in their language, some of them 100, 200, whatever it would be. And we're so spoiled to be able to pick up in our phones and have 1,200 and something sermons in our own language. We're blessed. Don't let it become common to you. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing this together before we go. Remember Brother Gordon and his family in prayer. They're traveling home on Wednesday, I believe. Just remember them in prayer for traveling mercies. Amen. Help me sing this morning. Oh, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter.